Pasuk says in Parsha Semar about Yom Kippur, that you should afflict yourselves on the 9th of Tishrei at night. The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Peyalech on the days asks, you don't fast on the 9th, you fast on the 10th of Tishrei. So why does it say B'Sishal Erev? It says the Gemara, Kala Ocha V'Shosa V'Chidi, Mala Olav HaKosav Kila V'Sana V'Chidi V'Asiri. Someone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, on Chi, the Tishrei, on the 9th of Tishrei, the Torah treats it as if you fasted both on the 9th and the 10th. So from here the Achronim learn, the Rishonim learn that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the nature of this mitzvah? So the Achronim already raised the question, is this simply a hachona for the Tainus? It's really just a preparation for the Tainus on the 10th? But the Torah formulates it to give us a mitzvah, but really fundamentally it's a hachona for the Tainus? Well, no. It's not a hachana for the times. Maybe it's a mitzvah. That on Erev Yom Kippur, the Torah gives us a mitzvah to eat. What does that mean? So Rashi and Yuma there, on the Pe'alef and the Bay, seems to say that it's just a hachana for the times. It's turned into a mitzvah, but fundamentally the reason for it is a hachana. Lashon of Rashi is hochi mashma kro v'inisam b'tisha klomer haskin atzma b'tisha k'deshetuchal l'yisanos b'asor. The Pasuk is saying v'inisam b'tisha so that you'll be able to fast on the 10th. Chaskin atzmacha b'tisha. It's a hachana. It's a preparation to fast Yom Kippur. Rashi seems to say it's be'emes, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is really a hachana l'tayis. The Torah gives up. We would know that we have to prepare, so what does the Torah have to tell us? No, the Torah makes it a mitzvah to prepare for the times. Rabbeinu Yonah, on the other hand, in Shari Tshuva and Shari Dalet Os Ches, writes that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur mitzada din Yom Tif. And he explains in two different ways. He says either Yom Kippur is a Yom Tif, but you can't have a Suda on Yom Kippur. So we fulfill on Erev Yom Kippur the mitzvah Suda that we would have on Yom Kippur itself. Or else Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's a mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur to eat because there's a Yom Tif. Erev Yom Kippur is a Yom Tif because we have the expectation of the kapara of Yom Kippur coming. So we have a simcha before the Yom Kippur. There's a special mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur to express that simchas Yom Tif that we have in the expectation of kapara. What's an afkemina whether the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is a hachana for the tainus, fundamentally a hachana for the tainus? So it's a mitzvah meat in Yom Tif, yes? Sorry?
Basar.
Basar? He's saying if it's a din yom tif, so then basar, just like every other yom, it's just a hachana, you could eat anything. It's a good ha'ara. The Ksav Sofer in one of his tshuvas suggests that maybe the nafkamin is, let's say a person is a cholin, and he's not going to fast Yom Kippur. He can't. He knows. The doctors told him he can't fast Yom Kippur. Is there any mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur for such an individual? If it's just a hachana for the tainus, he's not going to fast. There's no inyan at all. But if it's a din yom tif, that Erev Yom Kippur has a din yom tif, either because Yom Kippur has a din yom tif, so we eat Erev Yom Kippur for the din yom tif of Yom Kippur itself, or that maybe on Erev Yom Kippur itself we have a din yom tif because of the simchas ha-kapara, the expectation of kapara, so then the mitzvah is going to apply, even if the person knows he's not going to fast Yom Kippur, because it has nothing to do with fasting Yom Kippur. So bazunder mitzvah is a separate mitzvah. Some want to suggest that another nafkamina might be whether there's a mitzvah to be marve b'suda. Should I just eat what I need in order to prepare myself for the tainus? Is there a mitzvah to be marve also? If you assume it's just a hachana for the tainus, obviously, you just have to eat as much as you need in order to prepare yourself for the tainus. If there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur because that din yom tif, so maybe there's a mitzvah laharbos too. They point out that the Mechaber in the Tafresh Dalet Zif Aleph writes it is a mitzvah to be marbe. Mechaber says mitzvah lechol be'erev Yom Kippur mulaharbos besuda. It's a mitzvah to be marbe besuda, not just to eat Erev Yom Kippur, but to be marbe to eat a lot, to eat more, not to eat nachila gasa obviously, but to eat more. They say that the different Anshei Ma'aseh, the different tzaddikim, they try to be marbe in different ways, not just to have a seuda. They say that the Brisker Rav used to keep a sucking candy in his mouth the entire Erev Yom Kippur. even though that's not a suda, he's not having bread, but the Brisker apparently felt that as much as you marbe to eat, there's some kind of a kiyum mitzvah. So you get the impression from the Mechaber, from the Shulchan Aruch, the fact that he says the mitzvah to be marbe be suda, that he holds that on Erev Yom Kippur there's a din yom tif. It's not just the hachon of the times, but there's a din yom tif. And this is borne out by the Ramah. The Ramah continues and says that on Erev Yom Kippur you're not allowed to be misanet, you're not allowed to fast. Shulchan Aruch as well in Siv Beis writes that on Erev Yom Kippur we don't fall tachnam. All of these halachas seem to indicate that on Erev Yom Kippur there's a din yom tif. That's why we're married to Suda, it's also to fast, and we don't fall tachnam either. What's the din the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Meaning, does the din of Erev Yom Kippur start at night, or does it start by day? What do you think? So the Ramah in Siv Beis quotes different minhagim, whether you say a lot of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur or not. Again, the slichas are taking place lechatchila b'ashmeres sabokir, still at night. There are different minhagim. Some have the minhag that they say the most slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. Some say the smallest slichas. I think most Ashkenazim, most of us have the smallest slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. The minhag in the Broyers community is that not only Erev Rosh Hashanah do they say a lot of slichas, Erev Yom Kippur they say the most slichas. The minhag in Broyers, KAJ. If you want to say a lot of slichas, you can join them Erev Yom Kippur. The machlokas, what to do, machlokas and hugging whether on Erev Yom Kippur we say even more slichas than any other time, or we say even less. Chara, that's a machlokas as to whether the night of Erev Yom Kippur also has a din yom tif. Just like we're not going to say tachnun Erev Yom Kippur, the night of Erev Yom Kippur has a din yom tif, we're not going to say slichas. We'll say even less slichas because it has a din yom tif to it. They tell a story that Rabbi Breuer, who's the Rav in the Breuer's community for quite some time, he used to say that in Broyers there are two famous minhagim. They have one minhag l'chumr, one minhag l'kula. The minhag l'chumr is that on Erev Yom Kippur they say a lot of slichas. What's the minhag l'kula in Broyers? That they wait between meat and milk, they only wait for 3 hours. So Rabbi Broyers said that if you want to be mekel to wait only for 3 hours, you have to say a long slichas Erev Yom Kippur. Because if not, then it's a joke. You're taking the coolest of both. You know, you're taking all the coolest. You want to take the kula, you have to take the chumra. That's what you're sorry? Right, boy. Yeah. Look, the key is that being marbid b'tfilah is a very important thing. During this time of year, being marbid b'tfilah is an important thing. We all joke about it, but the truth is, you know, it's the attitude that we demonstrate is so important. So important. You know, a person runs out of shul after davening. He was there for a long slichas. He doesn't have the patience to wait for the whole davening. The attitude we show for davening is very important. Okay, we joke about it. It's good. It's sometimes you have to laugh a little bit. But the fact is, we have to make sure that we appreciate that this is a zman of tefillah. We have to take advantage. Hashem Baruch Hu is so close to us now. Saras made tshuva. We have to take advantage and really be makdish as much time as we can for tefillah. So if our minig is not to say a lot of slichas, okay, you don't say slichas, but it's not, you don't have to celebrate over it. Okay. There's a minig, an old minig that on Erev Yom Kippur people do kaparis. Old minig that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Simitofrei Shei Sifal. He quotes the minig, but he writes that the Ramban and the Rashbam, many Rishonim, were very troubled with the minhag. They felt that it's darkei emori, chukas akum. It's not, this idea that you take a chicken and you put all the averis in the chicken is your scapegoat. They said that that's darkei emori. We have a sayer lazazel on Yom Kippur. Okay, that's a din in the Torah. That's a little different. Somehow that's different. But the Dukaparas, they felt that this is not a minhag Yisrael. It's darkei emori. But the Ramah says this is our minhag. The minhag of the Ashkenazim is to do kaparis. I guess the Sfaradim don't do it. Any Sfaradim here? So the Sfaradim, I guess, on Erev Yom Kippur don't do kaparis, right?
Some of them do.
Some of them do. Like the Ramah. Wow. Very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah there is troubled with the minig of kaparas for a different reason, not because of Darkei Amori. He says that the shochtim are awake the whole night. The minig used to be they did kaparas at night. So the shochtim are awake because people who do kaparas can bring the chicken to the shochet. You'd be shochet right there and then. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the shochtim are awake the whole night. After a while, they get tired, so they're going to shech the veilis, and they're going to feed. The chickens are not going to be shechted properly, and the people are going to eat them, so they're machshel the rabbim. Shabura says it's not right. Others point out that it's tzar balechayim. Sometimes it's tzar, if you don't do it right, if you don't do it properly, it could be tremendous tzar balechayim. Mishnah Berurah writes that it's best to kaparas with money, not with chickens. It's still a big minig. I know in Muncie it's very popular to do kaparas with chickens. Depends what your kehila, which kehila you come from. But the Mishnah Berurah says the best thing is to do kaparas with money. What's this idea to do kaparas with money? How does the money take the place of the chicken? If the minig is to do kaparas with chickens, so what's the point of doing it with money? Well, the answer is based on the Ramah. The Ramah says the minig is to give the kaparas, to give the money for the kaparas to the aniv. Even if you do kaparas with a chicken, the minig is really to give to the aniyim, so they'll have what to eat for the Suda of Erev Yom Kippur. So the minig is to give it to the aniyim. I think maybe that's the idea. Tzedaka tatzel mimaves, shuva tefillah tzedaka mavir nesroa hagzeira. Tzedaka, it's the tzedaka shebo that's the ikka kapar. It's not putting the aveiras on the chicken. That we say that, but that's, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Ramban says that the purpose of every carbon is like that. A person brings a carbon, he should have kavana, that the blood that's being sprinkled on the mizbeach really should be his blood, and the fact that the chicken or the behemoth is being shechted, it really should be the person. So we do have this idea, have this concept, not so foreign to us. But the real kapara over here is not that we're bringing a carbon, not bringing a carbon, the chicken's a carbon. The real kapara is the fact that you're providing for the aniyim, you're giving tzedakah through the mechanism of the chicken or the money. So that's how the money can take the place of the chicken, because it accomplishes the same thing. It's tzedaka, it's a chesed for the aniyim. That's really the ikka kapara. The Mishnah in Yuman Daf Pehei Amud Aleph writes that Haver Shebin Adam LaChavero Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ad Sheiratzes Chavero. For Averos that are interpersonal between man and his fellow man, Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper until the person appeases the yes from the chigla from his friend. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens Simitov Reish Vav Sif Aleph. After yes from the chigla, the Rosh writes in Yuma that because of this halacha, a person should be careful. Eaten kolodan alibu be'erv yom ha'kipurim l'fayis l'chom yishaposha kenegdo, says the Rosh. The person should go around on erev yom kippur and ask mechila from all of his friends. That's what the Rosh writes. The question is, why dafka Erev Yom Kippur? The chiyuv to be mefayes a friend exists the whole year. It's not just Erev Yom Kippur. So why dafka Erev Yom Kippur should we walk around and ask mechil? So there are different answers given. The Mishnah Berurah there, Siman Tov Reish Vav Sif Katan Aleph, quotes from the Mat Ephraim. Mat Ephraim is a sefer, as we point out, a sefer that collects a lot of the halachas of these this time of year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Mat Ephraim that it's because people are running out of time. There's a deadline. Yom Kippur is the deadline. It's the last time for the year to ask Mechila. You want a kapara on Yom Kippur. It says the Mat Ephraim, there's no time to wait. So that's why in Erev Yom Kippur, we run around to ask Mechila. Every other time, there's another day. There's other time. You can delay, you can push it off a little bit. But when Erev Yom Kippur comes, we know that the deadline is here. Yom Kippur is the Ketz Mechilu Slicha. We want to be Zochet to the Kapara of the day. So we ask Mechila before Yom Kippur, because we know that the deadline is right here. Rav Sternbuch in his Modim Uzmanim, Chelek Aleph Simen Nun Dalit, he suggests a different answer. It's not because Yom Kippur is the deadline, so we want to chop around, we want to get it in. He says there's an old machlokas when you ask Mechila from a friend. Do you have to be mefarid the chet? Do you have to specify what the avera was that you sinned against him? Whether it was Lashon Hara, or it was Gezel, or whatever you did. The Bach writes that you have to be mefarid. You have to specify. But the Magen Avraham disagrees. He says, no, dafka you should not specify. Because if you specify the chet, then the friend is going to become embarrassed. It's best not. You say it's well known that Rabbi Saul Salanter was very machmen. He felt that you should not be mefarid the chet, like the Magen Avraham. Yisrael felt that you're going to be mitzara the friend. First of all, the fact that he knows that you sinned against him is going to be mitzara him. It will cause him pain. And then if he asks you what you did, then if you tell him, it'll be even worse. He'll be embarrassed that you said something about him or you did something to him. It's the best not to be mefarid. There's an old machlokas achronim that you should be mefarid and not be mefarid. So said Rav Sternbuch, maybe that's the idea. If you're going to ask mechila the whole year, so then you might have to be mefarid the chayt. And even according to those that say that you don't have to be mefarid the chayt, but the fact that you're telling him this, he knows that you did something. So he's going to wonder, and he'll feel a busha and a tsar anyway. But if on Erev Yom Kippur you walk around and ask mechila, so it's something everyone is doing. So a person feel, you know, the chaver that you're asking will feel, he may not have done anything against it, but he just wants to be careful. So it's not going to cause the same busha, it's not going to cause the same tsar. It's not that there's a deadline that you're trying to chaperayim before Yom Kippur comes. But rather it's a good thing that since it's a time of tshuva and people want that kapara, so that everyone's going to ask mechila of each other on Erev Yom Kippur. So no one's going to feel the busha. That's why bedafka Erev Yom Kippur, the minig developed, that everyone should ask mechila so that no one will feel the busha, no one will feel the tsar, because everyone will just think that people are just asking mechila because they want, just in case they did something wrong, they want the mechila, but they're not going to think that Chalila, the person actually did do something and he has something in mind. That's why he's asking mechila for it. Yes?
But has it not undermined the whole idea that let's say you ask everyone, one specific person who really did something against them, you just don't tell them. So you're asking them to pick up
So Behemis, according to the Bach, if you have to be mefarid the chet, you're not satisfying the din of mechila. Not going to satisfy that requirement because you're not mefarid the chet. But according to those achronim who said that you don't have to be mefarid the chet, then the only problem is that just by asking him, you'll already be causing him a tzar and a busha. So the fact that everyone else is asking, that eliminates that tzar and busha. But according to those achronim, you don't have to be mefarid the chet anyway. As long as he forgives you, then you've been yotze, your requirement of being mefarid.
What's the point of even asking? It's the kind of thing that everyone asks everyone.
Because unless the person says, yes, I am oichel you, there is no mechila. Right? There's no mechila. I know the minig is, we're going to get to it later, that in Tfilah Zaka, we say that we're mochel everyone, whatever they did. So if the person says Tfilah Zaka, so maybe you can rely on the fact that he's going to say it's Tfilah Zaka. We don't rely on these things. We want to make sure that we get a kapara. So that's why we go around and we ask everyone for mechila to make sure that we're going to get the mechila from him. Yes, David?
But how can he give you a kapara if he doesn't know what you did?
Because he is mocha b'leiv shalem. Person forgives his chaver b'leiv shalem for anything that he may have done. Right? This is the season of tshuva. We realize that people do things that sometimes they later regret. So in this case as well, you know, if someone wronged you, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be mocha, not to stand on ceremony. It's the mitzvah. It's a special inyan. Chazal say someone who's maver al midos, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is merachim more on him. You know, we want the midah k'neged midah, so it's a big inyan to be mochel someone. A person has a fight with someone. They know that they've been feuding the whole year. So to come and ask mechil is a big zach. It's not posh. It's hard. It's hard to be the first person to come. But it's a big inyan. It's a big, big inyan to be the first person to come to ask mechil.
If someone asks mechila, say they did before, like Rosh Hashanah, which is also some people do it.
It's more of an inyan before Yom Kippur. Some people do it before Rosh Hashanah. It's really more of an inyan before Yom Kippur. I'm not sure how it got extended to before Rosh Hashanah.
If someone did, should they go back and do it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, make sure you check off all the friends on the checklist. If you see people in shul, you see people before. You know, before Yom Kippur, so then you can ask them. You know, you call up your close friends, but you know, you don't have to drive yourself crazy over it. You try your best. Try your best. Yes.
Doesn't it make sense to do it before Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur?
Yeah, but that relates to the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is not as man of tshuva in the same way. It's a different type of tshuva. different type of tshuva. It's more where Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, we show the kind of people we want to be, but we're not really dealing with the details. It's during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, during the time, I mean, Rosh Hashanah is part of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, during the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's when we really get down to the nitty gritty and we're trying to get a mechila for the different averas we've done. So that's really the time that we ask mechila, that's really the time, the Iker time of Tshuva.
But if you wanted zero for a good year and you have people.
Right, that's true. Yeah, I hear. Here, but it's a different type of gzera. The gzera is for the people that we want to be, the person that we want to be. But that gzera is only nichtav b'Rosh Hashanah. It's nechtav b'Yom HaKippurim. So, again, it's, you know, even though you would think that the Yom HaDin really is Rosh Hashanah, but the Balei Machshava point out it's a different type of din. So the real time to ask mechila is this time. This is the time of tshuva for the averas pratios, for the details, for all the averas that we've done. So this is really the time that the minhag is through, is to ask the mechila. Okay, we all know that on Yom Kippur there are chamisha inuyim, there are five types of affliction. Different things that we abstain from. What are they? Achila, chesia, right? Eating and drinking. Rechitza and sicha. Bathing, anointing oneself. Nilas hasandal and tashmei shamim. Achila and chesia are definitely daraisa. Definitely daraisa. Shari Nuyim, the other four, they are learnt out of Shabbosam, different Ribuyim that the Gemara in Yuma has. The Rishonim have a Machlokas, whether they're Daraisa or they're only Midrabbon. Machlokas Rishon. What's the nature of the Issur Achila? So the fact that the Torah expresses the Issur Achila B'loshon Inui, doesn't afflict himself. So the Poskim can point out that it's a different type of issa. Right? It's a bitul inui. The shear for the achila on Yom Kippur is different than other machalas asuras. For other machalas asuras, the shear is a kezayis. For Yom Kippur, the shear is what? Does anyone know? Kikoseves agasa. Koseves agasa, a large date. How much is a large date? A little bit less than a kibetza. Right, a kezayis, poskim say, if a kezayis is half of a kibetza, and a koseves agasa is somewhere in between. So it's actually more than halfway. It's a little bit less than a kibetza. That's the shear. That's the shear for achila on Yom Kippur. Ki koseves agasa. And what's the shear for shtia? Kim lo lugmav. Like a cheekful, that's a rove revius. So for revius, let's say it's around 3.3 fluid ounces or so. So rove revius is, you know, 1.7, somewhere around there. A shaklis, I think, is about a fluid ounce. So those people who have to eat and drink on Yom Kippur, they drink a shaklis. Obviously, it's a shear that's mitzaref, right? You can drink a shaklis, and then 10 minutes later, the shiloh, when it comes to shtia, whether the shir tziruf is kedei achilas pras, or it's kedei shtias revis. There are different shiurim. Obviously, when it comes to achilas, kedei achilas pras, that means half a loaf. The shiloh and poskim, what the pras means, whether it's three baits and four baits, it's a whole machlokas. Shir kedei achilas pras, the poskim have different shir and matzah, Yom Kippur, all the dini achilas. It's anywhere from between, you know, two to 9 minutes. Right? So luchumra, you want to eat them matzah, so you eat, try to eat it in 2.5 to 3 minutes, somewhere around there. Yom Kippur, you want to be machmer in the other extreme. So we try not to eat koseves agasa in 9 minutes. Right? So we can eat, let's say, a kezayis, and you wait 9 minutes, then we can eat like another kezayis, but that's less than a koseves agasa. So they say that if you drink shatkles every 9 minutes, if you say it's kedei shtias revius, that's a big kula. The shtias revius is a minute, it's nothing. So to be machmir, we say that kedei achilas pras the shir also for shtias. So they try to wait 10 minutes. So they drink a shatkles, they wait the 10 minutes, and they can drink another shatkles. You can get 6 fluid ounces in an hour. That's a lot of liquid. So that's not too much, but it's enough. It's enough if you do that. It's enough to to hydrate yourself, that you're not gonna come to sakana. That's only for people who want the sakana. Well, most people are not gonna eat and drink Yom Kippur. Right? But those who want the sakana, they have to take into account the different shiur. But the nature of the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur is bitul ha'inui. Bitul ha'inui. Ki kol ha'nefesh asher lo su'une. It's not an Isra Achila, that's why the shiur is different. The Stechemed, who wrote an encyclopedia in Halacha, 10 volumes. It's unbelievable. Most people couldn't even write that in a lifetime, even if they tried. Just if you try to write it, forget about being mechadesh or anything. It's unbelievable. So the Stechemed quotes from one Gaon. Gaon Echad. He wanted to say that since the Isra Achila Yom Kippur is written B'loshem Inui, so you're supposed to be ma'ane yourself, supposed to afflict yourself, which means that you shouldn't do a skula to make the fast easier. That's what the Gaon Echad said. You shouldn't do a skula. Apparently there were some skulas, you could have a kameya or something to make the fast easier. So don't do it. Because it's not just an Isra Achila, it's an Issa to be mevatel the Inui. You're supposed to be ma'una, you're supposed to be afflicted. So you're not supposed to do something to make it easier. Interesting idea. So we don't have skulas bizmanas. I don't think most of us, you know, have access to skulas to make the fast easier. But we do have access to something that we can eat to make the fast easier. And that's called kalitzom. And these are the pills that they have. You know, for those who are caffeine addicts, right? For those who drink a lot of coffee. So they have a kalitzom that has caffeine in it. And for those who are pregnant, they have a special pregnancy kalitzom. They're different tablets that they give for people to eat before Yom Kippur, before the fast, to make it easier. So are you allowed to take that? So something to suggest, according to this Gaon Echad, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to take the kalitzom because it makes the fast easier. Most poskim disagree. Most poskim say it's mutter to take the kalitzom. The fact that the Torah says that on Erev Yom Kippur one is allowed to eat, in fact it's even a mitzvah to eat perhaps Erev Yom Kippur, you see that it's mutter to make a fast easier as long as it's before Yom Kippur. As long as the maisa that you do is before Yom Kippur, it's mutter. Maybe it's even a mitzvah so that you'll fast better. So to say that because the Isra Achil is formulated B'loshon Inui, it's also to make the fast easier, most poskim say that that's simply incorrect. Most poskim would say you can take the kalitzom. I recommend it. Some talmidim have called me about wives who are pregnant, and it's harder for them depending on the month that they're in. It's complicated. It's very complicated. They should take the kalitzom. They should hydrate themselves. Everyone should hydrate themselves. Take a Gatorade or take something that can put nutrients into you. Not just water. Fill yourself up with water. It goes in one end and comes out the other. That's not as effective. Take something that has nutrients in it. That can really help you a lot. So everyone should hydrate themselves, and those who really need it should take the kalitzom also. It really works. I've been told it really works. I've never taken it myself, but I've been told it really, really helps. So for those who really need it and they find the fast difficult, they should take the kalitzom. It's very helpful. Okay, there's an Isra of Sicha on Yom Kippur to anoint oneself. To put on some kind of oils or something. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tov Resh Yudal Zif Aleph that one is not allowed to do Sicha on Yom Kippur, even Lahavir Es Hazuam, even to take away a smell. To put on deodorant. It's not just Sicha L'Shem Taino, to put on, you know, cologne, to put on something extra. No, even to use deodorant to take away an odor. Shalom L'Shem Taino, that's also Asa, says the Shulchan Aruch, based on Yerushalmi. That's Asa Yom Kippur. What's the nature of the Isser? There are different reasons given by the Achron. The simple reason is that Sicha is also Asa Mitzad Inui. Even if it's not L'Shem Taino, it's not just for enjoyment, but a person is supposed to be Ma'una, that means that even L'Havir Es Hazuam, it's Asa to do Sicha. That's the assumption. The assumption of the Poskim. It's Yerushalmi. Regarding Tisha B'Av, there's a discussion in the Poskim, but the Tisha B'Av is compared to Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis this Halacha of Sicha Shalom L'Shem Taino. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's Yerushalmi. The Ran quotes to Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch paskens that way, but even Lahavir Es Hazuam, it's also, I think it's also to put on deodorant on Yom Kippur. How about washing the mouth out on Yom Kippur? Rechitza. So the Ramah writes in Tov Resh Yud Gimel Siv Dalid that one is not allowed to wash the mouth on Yom Kippur. Why not? Why can't you wash the mouth? Mishnah Berurah there explains that we're afraid that you might swallow the water. Not because of an Isser Rechitza, necessarily. I'm afraid that you'll swallow the water. There's an Isser Shti on Yom Kippur. That's definitely Daraisa. It's So we're afraid that if you take water into your mouth to wash out, you plan on spitting up, and you might forget, you might drink a little, you have a parched throat, who knows, you might forget, and you'll drink a little bit. You violate the Yisashtiyah Daraisa. That's why you're not allowed to wash out your mouth on your kippah. Mishtabura earlier in Hilchas Tainias also mentions this halacha. He says, B'makom tzar gadol, let's say a person has a bad taste in their mouth, B'makom tzar gadol, on Tisha B'av one can be mekah. But on Yom Kippur, sounds from the Mishnah Berurah earlier, it's in Tov Kuf Samach Zayin, it's called in Yud Aleph. Mishnah Berurah seems to imply that on Yom Kippur, one is not allowed to do it even B'makom tzar gadol, because we're so afraid, this is a deraisa we're talking about. Kares, okay, B'shogeg is when there's no kares, but still a deraisa. That's regarding water, but how about mouthwash? So mouthwash is not roi l'achila. Stomach, there's no chashash d'araisa by mouthwash. If you were to swallow the mouthwash, you wouldn't be nene from the taste. I know it has a mint taste in it, but not the swallowing is not a hanal. So the chora, just like the Shulchan Aruch says that if you eat ochlem she'enem re'uyim, it's potter on Yom Kippur. So the chora, this too, drinking the mouthwash would not be a d'araisa. So the chora, one should be allowed to use the mouthwash. You can't put water in your mouth on Yom Kippur because we're afraid you might swallow it, but maybe to use the mouthwash should be okay. Shimon Eider, in his Hilchas Tishah, he quotes that Rav Moshe felt that it should be Osamidin Rechitza. Osamidin Rechitza, to use the mouthwash. Because you're washing out your mouth, it's also Rechitza. What's this idea Rav Moshe is suggesting? So someone explained that maybe it's based on a Machlokas Aposkim. Whether rechitza lahavir asazuma is aser on Yom Kippur or mutter, we said sicha lahavir asazuma, anointing oneself, putting on deodorant to take away an odor, that's definitely aser. That's Yerushalmi. Question is, should we compare rechitza to sicha? Should we say what's the difference? You see from sicha the paradigm. You see from sicha that lahavir asazuma is aser, so rechitza should be the same. Or should we say no? After sicha, since sicha is more of a tainug than rechitza. Even if you do it shalol l'shem tainug, it's more us. Sicha, even lahavir asazuma, is more us, because sicha is more of a tainug. Rechitza is not a tainug. You're washing something because it's dirty. So rechitza, there are some who claim, it's machlokes Magen Avraham in the Tanz. Some want to claim that rechitza lahavir asazuma is more kal, because it's less of a tainug than sicha. So the chumra is asa, sicha shalol l'shem. Sicha lahavir asazuma shalol l'shem tainug on Yom Kippur, it's only by sicha, because even though it's shalol l'shem tainug, but sicha in general is more of a tainug, so they asid, right? The Chazal asid even shalol l'shem tainug, but since rechitza, it's not as much of a tainug. It's not such a pleasure. You're washing because things are dirty. It's not like putting on cologne or putting on oils, anointing oneself. It's not such a tainug to begin with. So maybe rechitza lahavir asazuma should be mutter. So that's the question. Rav Moshe is machmer. He says that washing the mouth out with mouthwash should be asa. He's talking about tishah, but the b'chora and Yom Kippur should be the same. So at first glance, you should be machmer. It's best not to wash out your mouth, not with water, not with mouthwash. A person who has a very bad taste in their mouth and they're extremely uncomfortable, so they should ask a shayla. But it's best to be machmer both when it comes to sicha lahavir asazuma. When it comes to rechitza, how about washing the hands in the morning, doing the tefillah sidayim on Yom Kippur? So the Shulchan Aruch in Tov Reish Yud Gimel Siv Beis writes that notal adam yodav shachris, you can do the tefillah sidayim on Yom Kippur as well, but yizor shlo yito lela itzov kishrei etzba osa. Be careful not to wash until the ends. Careful not to wash more than until the ends of the finger, right? Till the knuckles. If they have to wash until the knuckles, what kind of a din is this to wash until the knuckles? Manushak, if you're washing, to wash till the wrist. Why is the Shulchan Aruch Machmer to wash only until the knuckles? Yes, David?
I was wondering, which knuckles? These ones or the new ones?
The second knuckles, to where the hand begins.
The real
knuckles. Well, actually, no, they're both knuckles.
Yeah, they're both.
Okay, so it's the lower ones.
The lower.
Right? There are three knuckles. The third one.
Right.
Right? The last.
Three sets.
Like 3 cents? Mm-hmm. On 4 fingers? The other finger only has 2. Right? So you wash until the lower one, until the hand. So what kind of an idea is this? Mishnah Berurah explains that the Tilas Yadayim for Ruach Ra, the Machlokas Rishonim, how far do you have to wash? Rashi and Tosfos. Afon, you have to wash. It's also machlokas. So we're machmir. We're machmir to wash until the wrist. But it's only a chumra because there are some rishonim who say that for rach roi you don't have to wash until the wrist. It's enough to wash until the last knuckles. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we paskin it. You shouldn't be machmir. You know, b'yoytzei in the simplest way, right? The kula. The kula is to wash until the end of the knuckles, because according to some rishonim, that's enough for rach roi. That's what we do, Yom Kippur. We're machmer when it comes to Yom Kippur, not machmer regarding the Tilas Yadayim. Okay. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say a person goes to the bathroom, to Shiloh, if he doesn't get dirty, if the urine doesn't touch his hands, so if he makes dirty, so then obviously his hands are dirty, he has to wash with soap. But if he goes to the bathroom only wet, right? So then hands don't, and doesn't get dirty with the urine, so then the shaila whether you can wash your hands just to say ashiyatza, just to make a bracha of ashiyatza. So it's best to be machmer. Shulchan Aruch says that it's best to be machmer when it comes to Yom Kippur not to wash the hands after going to the bathroom if you're not sitting, right? If you're just urinating, so then it's best not to wash the hands. Now, of course, the solution to the problem is to get your hands a little dirty. You can touch a little bit of the urine. That doesn't sound so palatable, but touch a little bit as you're going to the bathroom. So then definitely, to be motzi oneself from the suffix as to whether you'd be allowed to make the bracha of ashiyatza without washing the hands, if you touch a little bit of the urine, so then it's mutter to, just a little bit, so then it's mutter to wash the hands. But the poskim say that if you're in the middle of davening, then it's mutter, even if you're not meshafshif, as they say, even if you don't get the hands dirty. Because to daven, you definitely have to, if you go to the bathroom, even if it's not dirty, even if it's only wet, right, you definitely have to clean your hands afterwards. That's not just a bracha of ashiyotze. Say Shema Na'esi, I really be davening. So then you definitely mechuyev to wash your hands before you go back to davening. This idea, the chumra of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you're not meshav sheif, you probably should be machmir, not to wash the hands before you make an ashiyotze. That's talking about if you go to the bathroom after davening, right? It's the night of Yom Kippur, you came home, you go to the bathroom before you're going to sleep. You're not going to daven. All you're going to do is say a bracha of ashiyatza. There, there's a shaila whether you can make the bracha if you're not whether you're allowed to wash your hands if you're not mishav shef. Right? So in that case, it's best to get the hands a little bit dirty so that you can wash them off, and then you'll be able to make the bracha. But if you're in the middle of davening, you're going to the bathroom in the middle, then you don't have to be mishav shef. Even if the hands don't get dirty, it's still an inyan to wash the hands because you have to go back to the tefillah. But the stomach, when you're washing your hands to go back to tefillah, you shouldn't wash past the knuckles. Right? Same as ruach. You're not washing for ruach. Ruach, I mean, you are. There is a ruach in the bathroom, but you're also washing with tzarech tefillah. You should be careful not to wash past the knuckles. But the post can point out that there are some circumstances where even on Yom Kippur, a person should wash until the wrist. But it's first of all a chole who's going to be eating bread. He washes regularly till the wrist. And kohanim go up to duchen. They also wash ad haper till the wrist. Sometimes you'll have levim washing, and the kohen, you know, the lady washes the hands, and the kohen sees it's going to the wrist. He like jumps back. Wash till the wrist. It's a different halacha. It's duchening, it's part of tefillah. That's the inyan. You see, when it comes to rach ra, there's a shaila in Rishonim whether there's an inyan to wash until the end of the knuckle or until the wrist. When it comes to duchening, that's a halacha, that they have to wash their hands before duchening. So that's the halacha, you have to keep the halacha. That's not a rechitza l'shem tainav, it's not a rechitza, it's a rechitza shel mitzvah. Rechitza shel mitzvah, you gotta do. So the kohanim wash until the wrist. Okay. One of the halachas of Yom Kippur is that we're mitzvadim. You confess multiple times. The Rambam writes in Achas Tshuva that Yom Kippur is Shman Tshuva Lakol. You have to do tshuva, you have to be mitzvadim. Rabbi Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, this is learned from a pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Tetor. Lifnei Hashem Tetor, there's a mitzvah. You mitar oneself to do tshuva and sevide on Yom Kippur. We're mitzvadim 10 times on Yom Kippur. Kenegi, the 10 tvilas that the Kohen Gadol did in the Beis HaMikdash. When he changed from the Big Day Zav to the Big Day Lavan and back and forth. Every time he changed, he did a tefillah. So we're mizvadi 10 times. How do we do vidui? How do we say vidui in Yom Kippur? Where do we say vidui? the Yochid, for the Yochid, the Ramah writes in Siman Tofresh Zayin Sif Aleph, that the Yochid says Vidui after his tefillah, before Elokai Netzah, after the tefillah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, someone who normally says Yul Ratzon Imrefi before Elokai Netzah, he should say Yul Ratzon before the Vidui. Nafkamina L'maisa, someone who's marit b'tefillah a little bit, he's in the middle of his Vidui, and the Shliach Tzibur got to Chazaras HaShatz, they came to Kedusha, let's say, he should answer Kedusha. Since he said Yul Ratzon before he started the Vidui, he can answer Kedusha. He doesn't have to answer every Amen to every Amen, but it's a Kedusha. Yeah, that he should take an answer. If he got that from, if the Shliach Tzibur got that from. Where do we say the Vidui b'tzibur? The Ramah says, the Shliach Tzibur says Vidui b'soch ha-tfila, in the middle of the tefillah. Not at the end of the tefillah, in the middle of the tefillah. Now, Tzvi Pesach Frank and his Mekori Kodesh gives different reasons for this. One reason he quotes from the Or Chaim, one of the Rishonim, that since the Shliach Tzibur is Marech b'tfilah, Marech b'tfilah and b'slichas and different psukim of Rachamim, the big Marav Sachach, so Chazal instituted that the Shliach Tzibur should just say the Vidui right there and then. But then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes that Rav Hagon writes in a tshuva that maybe there's a lomdusha reason that after the Shmona Esrei, the Shliach Tzibur is not a Shliach Tzibur anymore. His tefillah is over, so it's not going to be a Vidui of the Tzibur. The tefillah of Tzibur is finished. When it comes to the Yochid, until he takes his steps back, his tefillah is not over. When it comes to the Tzibur, it has to be in the middle of the tefillah. Because if not, then they're not called a tzibur. Okay, whatever the reason is, that's the minute. The minute is that the vidui for the tzibur is set in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. It's a machlokas tanoim, where one has to be mefarit the chait, where he has to specify the avera that he did in the middle of the vidui. We're not talking about being mefayis one's friend. That's a different period of chait. Here we're talking about vidui. Beino levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you have to be mefarit the chait. The Rambam holds that yes, Pirut HaChet is Ma'akev in the Vidui. Without Pirut HaChet, the Rambam holds not Yotze Vidui. But many Rishonim disagree. They claim that you don't have to be in Farid HaChet, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch passed this. It's a Metof Reish Zayin Siv Beis. It says the Shulchan Aruch, it's appropriate to be Misvada, to be Mefarid HaChet if one is Misvada Belachash. Someone who's being Misvada quietly, it's appropriate to be Mefarid HaChet. Busha is a good thing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It helps in the tshuva process. The Rambam writes that which we say the chet, we say the alef beis, Hashem le'bagad le'gazal le'etc. That's not a pure chet, because everyone's saying the same thing. So if everyone's saying the same thing, it's like a nusach hatfilah. That's not pure chet. That's not specifying the aner. So different poskim were misakein different nuschos. The Chayodim is a very famous vidui that some people photocopied before Yom Kippur. Chayodim has different other chatoim that he puts into the Yasham Lebagadim. By the Aleph will put a few more. By the Beis will put a few more. By the Gimel will put a few more. So to say everything the Chayodim has there, that's a Nusach HaTfilah also. He has a Nusach. What a person could do if they want to be Yotze this Ramah is look at what the Chayodim has and say what's relevant for you. Hopefully nothing, but if something is relevant for you, so then you mention that. Then it becomes a Pirat HaChet. And you're not just saying Hashem Levadu, but you're being Mefarid Bechet, you're saying something extra. That's what a person should do. Should look at the Chayodim or at some other Shalah Kodosh, also has a Seder Vidui. Look at some of these other Viduyim, some of the more modern Sfarim have a Vidui in English and they mention other things. So look at some of the other Sfarim and see what's mentioned, and then you'll know what you can add to your Vidui. Yes?
How should one do it to the public?
Public vidui, you don't hear anything since you're saying it out loud. It's the kol ram. Then we just say the nusach atfilah tzibah. That's all we do. Then we're not mefarim. It's still a vidui, right? According to most rishonim, according to the Rambam, it's not a vidui without a period of chet. We pass like most rishonim that it is a vidui. That's what we do. But tzibah, but b'yoch, when a person is mezvada quietly, then he can add some other. He can add specific averes that he knows he's done. The halacha is that one has to be mezvada standing up. That's the Shulchan Aruch Tov Reish Zayin Siv Gimel. You have to be mezvada standing up. Bein biyochid, bein bitzibur. Based on a Gemara in Yuma. Story, the Gemara in Yuma, that Shmuel stood up when it came to the Vidui. You see that you have to do it mu'umad. explains the Mishnah Berurah there in Sefer Yud that it's Derech Hachna. It shows that it's a more humble confession, Derech Hachna. That's why a person has to be Mesivada, standing up. It says the Magen Avraham that not only should one stand, but it's best to bend a little bit, just like he bends at Modin. That's the Derech Hachna. It's the proper Derech Hachna. And the Magen Avraham is that you shouldn't lean on anything. You're supposed to do it Ma'uman, so you have to bend. The real Ikka then is to say it's standing. Comes the Magen Avraham and quotes from the Shalach Kaddish that you should bend down. The problem is, but if you bend down, then it's hard to remain standing. But so he says, be careful. It has to be Ma'uman. So you should bend down, but you can't on anything. You can put your hands on the shtender, but you shouldn't be leaning on the shtender. So if you take the shtender away, then you'll fall. That's how you're supposed to say the Vidur. The best way to say it. Person who can't, somehow he can't stand properly, an older person, so there are discussions. But the Yotze, if you lean or not lean, but younger people certainly should try very hard not to lean. You should, but you're supposed to bend, you have to bend so far that your mama's going to fall, right? But bend a little bit, and you can put your hands on the chair in front of you, or the shtender in front of you, but do it in such a way that you're only holding on very lightly, and you wouldn't fall if you took the shtender away, yes?
So, just going back to when a person's confessing their own sins, is that supposed to be done like at the
when we say Hashanu Todanu, we should include that within the. You say Hashanu, and then you say something else. Bogadnu, Bitalnu Torah, Birachnu Brachos Levatola, whatever. These are some of the things the Chayyadim mentioned.
So it doesn't have to be in any specific order.
No. The Chayyadim has his order. You can put it whatever order you want. You don't have to mention everything of the Chayyadim. Whatever person. We try to put it together with the Aleph Beis, so if you can think of what's a Beis and what's a Gimel and what's a Dalet, so that's certainly better. If you can't put it into Hebrew, so you can say it in English. You can be misvad in any language. It doesn't have to be Lashon Kodesh. Yes.
Can we just be yotzei pure with
No, because since everyone is saying the same thing, it's not a pure tachet.
Even though in the Mishnah you're saying it.
No, but if you're saying the same thing as the person who's standing next to you on both sides, that's not a pir d'achayt. It's not specifying anything. It's not something specific to you. The whole idea of pir d'achayt is that I'm not sure. It's a halach, okay? But if you want one understanding, the person with the fire d'achayt, it creates a sense of busha. And that could be one of the requirements of tshuva, one of the conditions for tshuva. That appeared. Achay, you're saying, "I'm sorry, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I'm really sorry. Forgive me."
I just thought of Shamu.
A person doesn't relate to the Averis as much until he's Mefarad.
Isn't Shamu much more general, and then Alfit are for specific period?
Yeah, but there's still something that the entire Sefer says. There's no question that it's a great appeared Achay. If a person is Mefarad, something that he knows he's done. I've had trouble with this particular issue. I know. It's something I'm fighting with. It's something I'm working on, but it's hard. It's not working so well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. I'm sorry. I need help. It's a different vid. It's a different vid. It's not like, okay, I came to shul. What did you say? Yeah, I said the same thing. Okay. It's not the same. Kirat Achayt, that's individualized. It's personalized. It's a different Kirat Achayt. That's a real vid. According to the Rambam, it's actually Ma'akev in the vid. According to the other Rishonim, it's not Chabeser, it's certainly L'chadchil, even though it's not actually Ma'akev. The Ramah writes, based on that Gemara about Shmuel, Gemara Yuma, that Aval Anachnu Chatonu is the Ikar Vidui. Aval Anachnu Chatonu, because the Gemara says that when the Shtei Tzibur got up to Aval Anachnu Chatonu, Shmuel stood up. So you see that that's the Ikar Vidui. So L'chora, according to that Ramah, one should probably bend when he says Aval Anachnu Chatonu, because that's the Ikar Vidui, certainly it's the Tchilas Avidui. That's the first time, not like, Aval Anachnu Chatonu, ayayay, and then he's about to bend for Hashem. Chora, at that point, Aval Anachnu Chatonu, that's when a person should already be bending, because that's the Tchilas Avidui. The Ramah says that's the Ikavid. There's an old minhag to say Tfila Zaka on the night of Yom Kippur, when you first come to Shul. This is based on a Gemara in Yom. Gemara in Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis says, Mitzvah Vidui, Erev Yom Kippurim Im Chashecha. The mitzvah of vidui is to be mizvada on Erev Yom Kippur im chashecha, with nightfall. אבל אמרו חכמים מצווה דקון שיוכל יש את השמיירת דבר כלכלה בסודה. אבל החכם מסי שלי מצווה דה בפור דה סודה, בפור דה סודה המפסקס. היא מצווה דה מנחתוון. Why? So different reasons given. The Rambam explains that we're afraid that during the Suda HaMafsakas, a person might choke. Chalila. So he chokes and he wanted the time to be misvada. So it's best to be misvada before the Suda. So at least he'll have a vidui. It's not a vidui that's on Yom Kippur itself, but it's a vidui before the Suda. What's this din that mitzvahs vidui erev Yom Kippur and imcha sheicha? What does it mean imcha sheicha? So most Rishonim explain that imcha sheicha means tefilas marif. Marvis. That's our first vidui. Right? We misvada 10 times, two of them at marif. Once in the Silas Manasseh and once in the Chazar HaSashat, not the Chazar HaSashat, but in the Slichas with the Tzibur. The Chorot's mashma like that from the Gemara, because the Gemara continues, Afal Fisha is Vada Arvis, is Vada B'Shachmas. First says, Mitzvah Zvidu Erev Yom Kippur Im Chashecha, Afal Fisha is Vada B'Arvis, is Vada B'Shachmas. So it sounds like the Im Chashecha is B'Arvis, talking about Marv. But the Ramban has a different sheet. The Ramban says that mitzvah svidui erev Yom Kippur im chashecha means im chashecha, just as it's getting dark, before Maariv, right as Yom Kippur starting, one should be misvada. So he enters into the Yom HaKadosh B'Tshuva. That's the Ramban's pshat in Yomar. Im chashecha means right as the day is coming. Shkia, but shkia, that's it's already Safek Yom Safek Laila then. That's this special halacha besides the vidui, the different viduim on Yom Kippur, where Nisvada, according to Ramban, im chashecha, as it's getting dark, right at that moment. Mishnebura calls from the Shalah HaKadosh that it's really to be machner for this opinion. Based on this, the minhag developed that we should say what's called tefila zaka. It's a beautiful tefila anyway. But one of the points of tefila zaka is to have a vidui. It's a different kind of vidui. Tefila zaka describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all the different chushim, all the different senses, and we've misused them, we've misappropriated them. We've done averis with the different chushim, the different senses, the different parts of the body. So that's the vidui of Tefillah Zakah. So the key of Tefillah Zakah is really the vidui. The purpose of saying the Tefillah Zakah, aside from the fact that it's a beautiful tefillah, is to be yotze, the shita of the Ramban, which is supposed to say vidui im chashecha, just as Yom Kippur is beginning. Rav Tzipas Achfranken is Mekroi Kodesh at the end of Simen Mem Vov. He's mispoiled that there are some who are makel to say Tefillah Zakah sitting. Tefillah Zakah, saying sitting. So people feel like it's a beautiful tefillah, and I'll say it's sitting. Sometimes we daven sitting down. Rav Tzipas Achfranken says, but if you're trying to be yotze a din of vidui, according to the Ramban, we know that vidui has to be said standing up. So how can you say Tefillah Zakah sitting down? He says, that's the minik. That should be the minik. It's best to say the Tefillah Zakah standing up, not sitting down. Rav Sternbuch writes, one of his tshuvas, says, let's say a person comes to shul and he's late. He was helping out at home, cleaning up after the suda. Some people like to run out and say, Mom, I gotta say tefillah zakah, sorry. It's your problem, cleaning up. So the mother has to sit around and clean. The best thing is to start the suda early enough so that all the cleaning can be done, but you shouldn't run away. We have to help out. We have to help our wives and help our mothers and help our fathers clean up after the suda. They also have to get to davening. Let's say a person is late, come to shul late, he doesn't have time to say tefillah zakah. So Rav Sternbuch says the best thing is to say a short vida. Say, Ona Hashem chatasi v'shoge, avisi b'meizin, pashati b'mered. That's the simplest vida. So you've said a vida in chashecha, even according to the Ramban. You've been yotze according to the Ramban. Some kehilos, Mat Ephraim quotes that some communities have the minig, but they say the nusach of Hashamni when they come to shul. It's the same idea. So there are different minhagim from different kehilos, but it's a good thing to keep in your back pocket just in case you come late. At least say an Oshamnu. Say the basic Oshamnu. Only takes 10 seconds, 15, I mean, whatever, 20 seconds, 25 seconds. Say a basic Oshamnu, and that will be the vidui im chashecha. There is another reason to say tefillah zakah besides the idea of vidui. That is to fill the din of Tosefes Yom HaKippur. The Gemara in Yuma and in Rosh Hashanah in different places says that there's a mitzvah in Torah to be mosav mechol al hakodesh when it comes to Yom Kippur. The Shabbos and Yom Tov, where the Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov is deraisa, the Rabban, it's a shaila. They learn it out of Pesukim, but the question is that the Pesukim just an asmachta. there are other drushes for those psukim. When it comes to Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is a darais. Simply say, my Kippur is a darais. Binisim es nafshosechem, b'sishim l'chodesh b'erev, me'erev ad erev, tishbusu shabbatchem, me'erev ad erev. You see that you're supposed to add on b'tisha and b'asiri. You're supposed to be mosif mechol al ha'chodesh, both before and after Yom Kippur. It's a darais. It's a machlokas ha'poskim, whether you're supposed to be mekabel tosefes b'feh. Is it ma'akeh that you have to say it b'dibur? Or can you be mekabel b'leiv? Machlokas the Ramo and other poskim, Mishtabura has. Ramo is in Simen Tofresh Chesed Gimel, where the Kabbalah b'leiv works on that. The Ramo says Kabbalah b'leiv doesn't work. You know, you see the din d'arais of tosefes Yom HaKippur, if you're mekabel b'leiv. Other poskim say, no, it can work. Even b'leiv, it can work. But to be machmir for those shittas that hold the Kabbalah b'leiv might not work, that's another reason to say Tefillah Zakah. In Tefillah Zakah, we're Makabel, Tosefes Yom HaKippur, we're Makabel, Makabel Yom Kippur, with the Hamishin Nuyim, etc., etc. So that's another opinion, that's another reason to say Tefillah Zakah. We know that on Yom Kippur, we fall Korim several times, both by Aleinu and by the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. We talk about, we describe the Kohen Gadol's Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. There's a minute to put something down on the floor, to separate between the person and the floor. And the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Nefilas HaPayim in Chelet Beis, in Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, the very end of Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph. Mishnah Berurah says that, what's this idea to put something between you and the floor? It's based on a pasuk in Parashas Bahar. It's from the Ramah, but the Mishnah Berurah elaborates. The pasuk says, Ve'eben maskis, you're not allowed to put an Evan Maskis, put a stone to bow on the stone. You're not allowed to bow on a stone. Afilu la shamay, not to bow to the Avodah Zarah. To put an Evan Maskis, to put a stone on the floor, and to bow on the stone, even la shamayim, is awesome. It's a lav darais. It says the Mishnah Berurah, but in our Torah, the Isra only applies if it's a tarti l'reis, if you're doing two things. First of all, you're bowing flat on the ground. That's what we call pishut yadayim viraglayim. Flat out on the ground, like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Hishtachav, that's what hishtachavah is called. Poshet yadayim viraglayim. And the second is it has to be on an Eben Maskis, it has to be on a stone. That's the deraisa. Right? Hishtachavah, flat out, and on an Evan Maskis. But then Chazal added that even if you're bowing b'derech kida, it's called kida, that means kneeling, not pishut yadayim v'raglayim, but just kida, on the knees, that's also awesome. That's an Issur d'Rabbanan. And if you do ishtachavah, if you are spread out, again, just kida on the knees is usher if it's on Evan Maskis, and even if it's not on Evan Maskis, if it's ishtachavah, pishik yadayim viraglayim, that's usher even if it's not on Evan Maskis midrambam. Again, so minatorah, it's usher only b'tati l'rayus, pishik yadayim viraglayim with Evan Maskis midrambam, it's usher either or, pishik yadayim viraglayim or Evan Maskis, even if you don't have both together. And the Pesukim point out, by the way, that bowing on a carpet doesn't help you, since the carpet's mechubel lekarka, as it didn't get karka. But again, the whole problem should only really exist, the reason why you have to separate yourself, the only problem would exist if you're bowing flat out, or if you're bowing on the Evan Maskis. So the Ramah Taka says, at the end of the Flamed Aleph, they fall on the, when the Noflam al-Plan b'Yom HaKippur, you have to separate, put a separation between yourself and the karka. Mishnah Berurah says, because since the minig is to bow on Yom Kippur flat out on the ground, even if it's not on a stone floor, and some places have a stone floor, so even if they don't have room to bow flat out, they're only going to bow with their akidah, the Issur d'Rabbanan is still going to apply. But the stoma, if there's no room in the Beis Medrash that you're davening in to bow flat out on the floor, and there's no stone there, if it's just tile is not stone, levanim is not avon in the Pesukim say. So Meikar Adin, there's really no reason to put the papers out. You're not putting the papers out to keep your pants clean. You're putting the papers out because there's a din. You're not allowed to bow down if it's on an Evan Maskis. The problem is Yom Kippur, in some places there is a little bit of room, and there's an inyan, especially for the Avodah, to bow flat out. Mamash flat out on the floor. So if you're going to bow flat out, then the Yisod Rabbanan is going to apply even if it's on the tile, not on the stones. So that's why the minhag developed that we give out the towel. To go explain to everyone, you need the towel, you know, you need the towel, you don't need the towel. You have room, but here he's sitting in the area, you know, this guy is sitting in the bleachers and the other one is sitting in the Mizrach Bank. You know, he's sitting in the Mizrach Hall. So those sitting in the Mizrach, they have plenty of room, but the people who are sitting, you know, in the back, where they're stooping the chairs and there's no room to bow. So he doesn't need, you do need. So that's why they give out the towels. There's no yes to keep your pants clean, but you should just realize that's not the real reason they're giving it out. They're really giving it out in order to separate between oneself and the floor, so you shouldn't violate the yes. Yes?
Where do the towels need to go on your body? So let's say you're doing a full piece of day of red light.
The ikka, the face. But what some people do is they sort of put a towel, so that the body is covered. The knees are not unimportant. It's a major part of the Ishtahavon, right? Right, but it's not to keep the pants clean. It's so that the body there should be a separation between the body and the floor. So the ikka separation is by the face, because that's the real Ishtahama. But then this is, some people have these towels. Yeah, some yeshivas give them out at the dinners. They have like an emblem of the yeshiva on it. Like Yom Kippur towels that they give out, that they spread. It's like a hand towel. It's spread so that you have your whole body covered. Gevaldik. I wish I could get one of those. But if you don't have that, you can still use toweling. Use toweling, it's also okay. Hopefully you don't need a fancy hand towel. Yeah.
So here, for instance, but there's not enough room to spread out.
The minhag is to do it. You know, you don't have to show off to say that, I know I don't need it because it's not a stone floor and I'm not spreading it. It all depended. When I used to daven here at Yeshiva, we used to daven in Zeisman before Gluck was built. So it depended where you were sitting. Sometimes the way that they set up the chairs, if you have room, you don't have room. The key is don't bow flat out if you're going to kick the guy in back of you in the face. That's not an Indian, right? So you have to make sure you have to look around and see who's there. If there's no one behind you, it happens to be there's no one behind you. So bow flat. If there's someone behind you, forget about it. Just bow with your bekita, kneeling. That should be enough. There's a minute to say slichas in the tefillas of Yom Kippur. The Rav was very animate that Slichus should be said in every one of the tefillas, not just Ne'ilah, not just Mariv and Ne'ilah. It makes a lot of sense, right? Since the Yud Gimel Midas is the Ipir of the Slichus, that's the Bris Krusa Teklal Yisrael Shein Ot Chozes Rekam, so it's appropriate. Why should we only say it for Mariv and for Ne'ilah? We should say it for all the tefillas. The Rav felt that it's clear from the Machzer that there used to be Slichus for all of the tefillas. Before Zechor Rachamecha, it says Kan Omim Slichus. So, but where are the Slichus? The answer is each community used to have their own Slichus, except for Ne'ilah and for Marv, where everyone said the same special Slichus. But for Shachris, Mincha, and Musaf, they all had their own Slichus. So everyone came with their own booklet. So the problem is, because they had their own booklet, we lost all the booklets, so now we just have in the Machzer, it says Kan Omim Slichus, but we don't know what the Slichus are. So that's the problem. We're not saying Slichus, we really should be saying Slichus. That's what the Rav felt. So that's why the minhag in Yeshiva for many, many years, Rav Shechter feels strongly about this as well, the minhag in Yeshiva is to say Slichus for all of the tefillas, not just for Marv and for Ne'ilah. Most communities don't. Most communities outside Yeshiva will only say Slichus for Marv and for Ne'ilah. So do whatever your community does. We know that when the Aron Kodesh is open for the different piyutim, we stand up. But the Taz in Yerideya actually points out, this is a Taz in Yerideya, Simin Reish Mem Beis Sukkot Yud Gimel. In Ikar Adin, one doesn't have to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open, because the Sefer Torah is in a different Rishus. We stand out of covet for the Sefer Torah, but in Ikar Adin there's no real requirement to do so. That's what the Taz holds. Not everyone agrees. The Chasam Sofer in a Tshuva disagrees. Chasam Sofer says it's a Chiyuv to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open. But the Taz says, Me'ikra, then you don't have to. So the Nafkamina is, let's say, if a person is very tired, say a person doesn't fast well. Older people very often feel this way. Sometimes younger people, they don't fast well, they have a migraine headache. But there could be reasons why a person feels that they just don't have any kodesh. So, but look, if they have to break their fast, they have to break their fast. If it's a sakana, fine. But let's say a person just doesn't feel well. You know, he doesn't want to break the fast. So he can sit. Even if the Aron Kodesh is open, sometimes for Ne'ilah, it's very difficult for a person to stand. Most young people can stand, but if a person for some reason feels he can't, so he shouldn't feel that he has to leave the shul because the Aron Kodesh is open. It's because the Aron Kodesh is open, we stand we stand for kavod, for kavod for the Sefer Torah, but since the Sefer Torah is b'shus acheres, technically me'ikar adin, one doesn't have to stand. So if a person is not feeling well, they feel weak, and they can sit down. This year we have certain special halachas for the Havdalah after Yom Kippur. Aside from all the different additions to the tefillah, because it's Shabbos, right? Because Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we have discussions about the Havdalah. First of all, the Samim. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Resh Chaf Dalet Siv Gimel writes that we don't make a bracha on Besamim on, let's say, Yom Kippur, because there's no Nesham Yisera on Yom Kippur, says the Mishnah Berurah. The whole purpose of the Besamim on Matzei Shabbos is because we lose the Nesham Yisera, but on Yom Kippur there's no Nesham Yisera. So the question is, should you make a bracha on Besamim if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? Is there a Nesham Yisera on Yom Kippur if it falls on Shabbos? Machlokas in the Poskim, the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't make a bracha on the Besamim even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes a litany of Poskim would say, no, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you can make the bracha. It's mutter to make the bracha. So many say that the minig is to make the bracha. Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Aleph there, Sif Tov Reish Chav Dalet, Sif Aleph says the minig is to be mevar. It's unclear where the minig came from. There are many, many achronim who say that you can't make the bracha. The Chazon Ish felt you can make the bracha. So you can. You can make the bracha. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you can make the bracha on Besamim, Matzei Yom Kippur. How about the bracha of Borim or Ha'esh? So the Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Tov Resh Chav Dalet, Sif Dalet writes, but a Matzei Yom Kippur in general, with machmir, to make a bracha of Bari Mahari Ha'esh only on a ner sheshavas, meaning a flame that was on for all of Yom Kippur but was not used. On Matzei Shabbos in general, we don't. We're not machmir to make the Bari Mahari Ha'esh dafka on a ner sheshavas. In fact, some are makbid to dafka make a bracha on a ner shalosh shavas, meaning they'll light a candle from a match to show that it's not dafka for ner sheshavas. Yom Kippur is different. Why? Because the reason we make a Barim Ari Ha'esh Matzei Yom Kippur and the reason we make it Matzei Shabbos are very different, two different reasons. Matzei Shabbos we make a Barim Ari Ha'esh because that's when fire was created. Matzei Yom Kippur we make a Barim Ari Ha'esh because fire was created Matzei Yom Kippur, because we're showing that we couldn't cook on Yom Kippur. The Heter of Ochel Nefesh applies to Yom Kippur, but not to Yom Kippur. But now we'd be allowed to use the fire to cook. So we dafka are choosing a fire that was Shabbos. The fire was there, but we didn't use it. The fire wasn't there Yom Kippur, so clearly we couldn't have used the fire because it didn't exist. That's why we dafka machmer typically on Yom Kippur to make the Bari Ma'ori Ha'esh only on Nesha Shabbos. If you don't have a Nesha Shabbos, you wouldn't make the Bari Ma'ori Ha'esh on Yom Kippur. So the question is, what's the din if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? Do you make the Bari Ma'ori Ha'esh dafka on Nesha Shabbos, or do you make it even on Nesha Lo Shabbos? The first thing is you'd say, what's the big deal? Right? You can make it even on a Ner Shavuot Shabbos. No different than any other Shabbos. So, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the minig is to be machmir. The minig is to be machmir to try to make the Barim Ari Ha'esh dach on a Ner Shavuot, even if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Unclear exactly what the minig is based on. Maybe to be a Tzibos. Right? That we'll be able to make the Barim Ari Ha'esh for both reasons. Not just because the fire was created on Matzei Shabbos, but because you couldn't use fire on Yom Kippur for Tzarech Ochel Nefesh. That's the minig. The minig is, the Mishnah Berurah says, of course in the Sharetzi and some Rishonim say like that, that if, even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, why don't you make the Bari Ma'ari Ha'esh on a Ner Shabbos. Let's say he doesn't have a Ner Shabbos. Let's say the Ner Shabbos went out. He had a yardside lamp. It's an old minig to have a yardside lamp for every person, not just for people who lost parents. One of the reasons to have a yardside lamp Yom Kippur, not for Yom Kippur. Yom Tov is only for people who have a yard sale, who lost their parents, and they're saying he is going to have a yard sale. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Ramah writes that there's an old minhag to light a nair for each person. What's this idea of lighting a nair for each person? So some want to say, I'll be nigla, that it's to have the nair Shoshavas. What's Yom Kippur? So you'll be able to light the candle, you'll be able to make the Bari Ma'ori Ha'esh on the nair Shoshavas. So yeah, you can do that. It's great to light the candle, to make the bracha appropriately, but let's say the light goes out. So what do you do? I think because when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the Bar Ma'ari Ha'esh is really for two reasons. The Chorah, there is room to say that you can make the bracha anyway. You can light a candle from the match, and you can make the Bar Ma'ari Ha'esh anyway. Even if the minig is to be machmer, so we should also wear machmer. Right? Try to make a Bar Ma'ari Ha'esh even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. You make it once Yom Kippur from an Ersha Shabbos, but I think there's room to say that you can make the bracha even on an Ersha Lo Shabbos, as long as Yom Kippur is falling on a Shabbos, because, again, there's an inyan to make the Barim Ari HaEsh every Motzei Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, L'chora, that reason will still apply. Thank you.